ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the most famous words in motorsports with your host, Lugs and the Gas Man. Ladies and gentlemen, start your podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to Wrecking and Racing. This is the Gas Man, my co-host Lugs. Say hey Lugs.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Each week we're going to bring you an episode covering different facets of NASCAR. Up-to-date news, storylines, everything from a fan's perspective. Because you know what? We are nobodies. We have no connections. We don't know anybody. Some of these other shows you listen to, the professionals, they have all these connections and get drivers on their show. Yeah, we're not that special. We are giving you everything from the true fan's perspective. We go to a couple races a year, do what we can. Our goal is to make it a 2-day Daytona this year for the Coke Zero Sugar 400. I think is what they named it this year. So that's our goal. So hopefully we will see some of you out there. And we'll try to do a podcast on site for the fans because we are fans too. So Lugs and I, we've been watching NASCAR for pretty much our whole lives. At least I have. Lugs, when did you get started watching?
Honestly, you know, I don't know. I can't really put my finger on a specific race, but I'd say it was around 1995. Funny you bring it up. That's kind of how we actually met, all the way back in middle school. I think I was sporting a Jeff Gordon t-shirt. You called me out on it. You were the big fan of the Intimidator, called me out on it, and we've had kind of a friendly rivalry ever since. But I think it was about 1995, somewhere in there was when I became a fan, and it's kind of just escalated and grew from there. Now my original driver is obviously retired, Gordon, of course, but still have a passion for the sport. Want to see it succeed. Want to see it grow. Lots of new faces, new racers up and coming. So still excited about the sport, still watch it every Sunday or, you know, Saturday night, whenever it is, but just still have a true passion for it. So what about you? When did you start?
Well, my dad's not much of a sports watcher, but he did watch NASCAR from Dale Sr.'s rookie year, 79 on. So I'm not trying to give away my age or anything, but not too long after that, I was born and I was embraced into the NASCAR culture. The earliest moment I can remember, it was what we call now Coca-Cola 600. It was a Memorial Day weekend. It was probably 93 is my guess, 92 maybe. I can't tell you much about it other than sitting on the couch with my parents watching it. It was one of the few times we actually did like a family event watching something. It was kind of cool. I guess that's maybe why it sticks with me. But talk about history. Did you hear that Bush is back sponsoring NASCAR, official beer NASCAR again?
I did. I guess Coors Light decided they weren't going to pick up that title anymore, and so Bush jumped in on it.
That's okay. We'll take it, because actually, I have a can of Bush right here, and I'm going to enjoy it during our show. So, all of our fans, or our pit crew that we like to call them, welcome to our show. This week, we're going to kind of recap what's happened the last 5 weeks. We're a little behind on things. We tried to get the show going a little earlier. We kind of had a little hiccups, but we're on the road now. We're going to plow through this and go forward, and we're going to provide you the best show we can. And hopefully you guys stick around and enjoy us. And trust me, we're open to critiques. So please reach out to us, wreckingandracing@gmail.com. Let us know how much we suck so we can fix it and make it better for you, the fan. Because we are all about taking care of the fans, because we are fans too. So talking about obviously we'll start off with the Daytona, the first race of the year. Maybe we'll throw in some speed weeks here. Kind of from your perspective, Lugs, what did you see that kind of stood out to you at Daytona?
Oh, obviously the wrecks. I mean, it was a game of survival. And it's, what it's been every year for the last few years, right?
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
Ever since they got away from the tandem and, the 2000s were, when Gordon and Junior, DEI had their reign of wins, constantly winning. What was that, like 2000, what, 1 to 2003-ish? And
yeah,
then,
it's pretty much all early 2000s.
Hendrick jumped in there. It's not like it used to be. You know, you didn't, I don't remember, too. I mean, of course, there were wrecks and stuff, but it wasn't a wreck that would clean out half of the field like it is now. So that's what stands out to me, and it's kind of frustrating. You know, it was just a game of survival. At the end there, you had, like, what, 12, 15 lead lap cars there?
Yeah, but half of them were damaged as well.
Exactly, so, exactly. But,
you know, I think
as long as you had a race in the horse, you were, you know, potentially could win the race.
You mean a horse in the race.
Horse in the race.
Yeah. So I agree with you 100% there. And one thing that maybe stands out to me in regards to that, we used to have field of 43 cars, and obviously Daytona, we filled that no problem, but now we dropped it to 40, so there's three less cars. That may have a little bit of an impact, but I definitely agree that there seems to be a difference with cars finishing, and maybe that's because of the new, you know, clock rule and stuff like that. It just kind of puts
the
a little
charter thing. Well, puts a little different emphasis. And we aren't even hitting that. I think we hit it at Daytona. We had a field of 40, but... Yeah. Since then, I don't think we've even hit it. I think at Phoenix, or was it Auto Club, we had 36 or 37 cars. So it's just, you know, like I said, sad to kind of see how much the sport's kind of dwindled, and, you know, the fan base doesn't seem to be, you know, what it was. But anyways, back to Daytona. So my takeaway, the crashes, obviously, you know, Dylan scoring the win there, driving through Almirola.
And I guess for Chevy, being a new package or new car for Chevy, that's huge for them.
But let's be honest, you know, if you got a halfway decent car out there and you can avoid the wrecks, then you got a shot at it. Let's be honest.
I'm pretty sure
so.
You can have a radio flyer and compete, you know, at the end of the race.
Exactly. So, you know, that's my biggest takeaway probably is, you know, you're either on Dylan's side and it was a racing incident when he cleaned out Almirola, or you feel like he intentionally wrecked him. But either
Rutland's
way,
racing, baby, right? Isn't that what we learned from Days of Thunder?
That's true. So, you know, but you know, you're either on one side or you're on the other, right? But that's my biggest takeaway. What about you?
Well, a couple of things. One is Chevy bringing the new car and the new Camaro. I had high hopes for them. Daytona wasn't too bad, but a little bit of a disappointment beyond Daytona. But a couple of things that really stood out to me, and I'm probably kind of prefacing this from the other races and stuff, is Stuart Haas, Eric Almirola. I mean, Danica's car, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's actually contending, and not that Danica wouldn't necessarily, but it wasn't a one-time deal. He's kind of been somewhat competitive.
He's been consistent with
this,
the thing, absolutely. So
that really surprised me. Bubba Wallace, great to see someone, you know, bringing back his culture and the emphasis that, you know, the media was putting on him and stuff to kind of have the showing that he had. That was definitely good for the sport. I definitely think that...
You also had Chris Buescher in the top five.
Yeah, that's crazy, right? So it's good. You know, hey, Chris Buescher, if you're listening, call Sam. We'd love to talk to you about that. You know, that'd be awesome. But yeah, I agree with you that there's a lot of good takeaways. Any negative takeaways that you have from Daytona?
The crashes, man. I think this is the first year that I was really turned off by the crashes, and I can't really say why, but it just really, I don't know, kind of put a bad taste in my mouth this year. I don't know why. You know, there's some pretty heavy hits whenever Keselowski and Chase wrecked. I mean, Chase went into the wall pretty hard, man. I mean, that was, to me, that looked like a more, obviously you got safer barriers and all that stuff now, but it looked like a more vicious impact than, you know, when Dale Sr. hit the wall. But, you know, I don't know, all the crashes, it's like every, you know, once you get past 50 to go, it's like at that point, you're waiting on the cautions to fall and the cars to be taken out. And it's just a game of chance at that point. So,
yeah, you're absolutely right on that. You know, I'm kind of agreeing with you on the Rex, kind of took it down a notch for me. One thing that kind of stood out to me as well, I just thought about, that's hilarious, we'll bring it up right now, talk about, hey, Lugs, are you taking Adderall by chance? You remember Bubba's comment after the race?
Yeah, and it's funny because I hadn't read the article or didn't even know much about the, you know, conversation leading up to that until, like, the actual day of the Daytona 500. And I think you hadn't even heard of it till I told you about
it.
I had not. And then, literally 5 minutes later, Bubba made that comment about about Denny, which,
yeah,
you know, I can't blame him. Denny, you know, basically crashed him after the finish line, which is, you know, yeah, that's, I'll just say that's a Denny move. We'll put it that way.
Yeah, yeah, that's, you know, here's the thing is that my history, I'll kind of hit back on this a little bit. My history, I grew up a Chevy guy. I hated every Ford Dodge driver back then. Pontiac, how you handle it, was a GM product. Toyota came on the scene. I was livid, furious. You know, I grew up a little bit. Now I kind of accept drivers of all the manufacturers. And kind of, I just want to see good racing. That's what it comes down to. I want to see the sport survive. I want to see it thrive. So I'm kind of across the board. Now, talking about that, Denny Hamlin does rub me the wrong way. I am not going to disagree with that. Denny does some things that are questionable. But you know what? I think even that personality is good for the sport.
Oh, it absolutely is. Absolutely is. It just, I know, hey, there's just been a couple of run-ins, and I feel like he is always, Denny takes the stance of Denny can do no harm or Denny can do no wrong. And you know, again, that's good to have in the sport, right? But, you know, it seems like he's always the perfect one, it seems like, sometimes. So,
yeah.
Let's talk about Atlanta. Ass. What?
He's a cocky ass. But, hey, that was the gas man saying that. So, any emails to complain about that, wreckingandracing@gmail.com, put in the subject line, screw the gas man, just so we know what it's about. So moving on from Daytona, I guess overall from a fan's perspective, I thought it was entertaining, except the wrecks were a little, kind of did take away from, but I thought overall it was okay product. Now we head to Atlanta, and my enthusiasm completely fell through the floor. I really felt like it was almost a snorter fest.
What
from
do you
my
think
perspective.
That is? What's
just,
the root cause?
Just, well, we didn't fill the field. That always kind of mentally kind of puts a damper on things. I don't know, just Kevin Harvick, that's the problem. I love Kevin Harvick, I really do, but damn it, he really made a couple races there almost unwatchable because he just dominated.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not only the Cup race, but also the Xfinity race, or as we still reference it because we're old school, Busch race. I'm drinking a Busch to them, you know?
Yeah, I mean, nothing really stands out. I mean, I know we're recapping it a few weeks later, nothing really jumps out at me as memorable about that race, personally. What about you?
Nothing really stands out. Stands out like anything good other than, like I said, Harvick dominating the race. One thing that we start to see take place, starting in Atlanta, kind of moving on to a couple races up to where we're at now. What about the dominance of SHR compared to the lackluster Chevys?
Well, that's a great point. I was going to say, what's your thoughts on Chevrolet? Because they were basically out to lunch. I mean, they got this brand new car, and granted, I know a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of effort goes into developing a new car. But I think they had two cars, Larson and Elliott, in the top 10, and they were like, what, 8th or 9th or 9th and 10th or something
like
that.
Yeah, and that's kind of lucky because they were running back by, you know, back into the top 20.
Right.
So it's kind of, to me, you know, like I said, historically, I was kind of a Chevy guy growing up. Still am to an aspect, but I try not to be so much manufacturer specific now. But it's very disappointing for them to come out with this new car. And literally, you have a badass Camaro ZL1 getting beat by a Toyota Camry on a week
or
in, week
Ford
out.
Fusion in this, at this point.
Yeah.
But let's talk about that. The fact that that's the oldest car out there, the Fusion, right? That's the oldest.
Yeah, it is the oldest body. So, in engineering aspects, and I guess my background is a little bit of engineering in my personal life, not to try to delve too much into that, but from the engineering aspects, they've able to, having the older car, they're able to have a product already in place and able to modify it to make it the best it can compared to Chevy's. Basically building it all up from the ground brand new and learning the new tricks and stuff.
Yeah, and I get that. So when did the Fusion come out? When did they switch to the Fusion? Do you know off the top of your head?
I still remember the spaceship tortoises. I don't...
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got... Well, just think about it. I mean, logically, I mean, they've had their arms wrapped around it longer than Toyota's been able to work with the Camry, even though they have substantially, you know, awesome results with, especially, you know, Truex winning the championship last year. But... you know, they just had more time to work with it, essentially. So it doesn't really surprise me too much that Harvick was able to go out and sweep three races consecutively. But
right. So talk about that, and I'm sorry to be jumping around here. So talking about Harvick and Stuart Haas. So I'll tell you right now, I was floored when Stuart made the switch from Chevy to Ford.
Mm-hmm.
But you think Ford just brought the bank bag with them and dropped it off?
Oh, I'm sure. Who did they have before? Roush and what? Petty?
Yeah, for a while. Definitely Roush. I don't know what what happened between Haas, Stewart, and Ford, but in my mind, I'm envisioning this guy that looks like the Monopoly dude walking up and he's dropping bags and bags of bankroll on the
front
porch. Please switch to us.
You're probably right, because, I mean, Stewart had been with GM. I'll say, you know, he was with
Pontiac.
But from the get-go of his career and, you know, all through his, you know, Outlaws and...
Tiny stint from Joe Gibbs with Toyota, but not much.
Right. But yeah, I'd say definitely money was a huge factor there. So
yeah. And so that money and that they threw at Stuart Haas, I can't say it's just Stuart Haas, and because Penske's even been doing phenomenal. I mean, look at Ryan Blaney, Keselowski, Logano. They've all been pretty consistent as well. So... Sorry, I have a dog licking me. I apologize. we're at Lug's house and his dog Dexter. So I apologize about that. So essentially, yeah, I think what you're seeing right now is money playing such a part. It always has played such a part in the industry, in the sport. But I see Ford just pumping all this money in for engineering support, and you know, Stuart Haas is paying the dividends for it, for sure.
So let me ask you this: What's your thoughts? There's always the rumor going around that there's going to be a new manufacturer. What's your thoughts on that? And if it was to happen, who would be your leading candidate of it actually happening? Now, who you want it to see, and you can give me that too, but who do you see actually coming in as a fourth manufacturer?
I know there's talk about, and the rumor's thrown around, what, Volkswagen, Hyundai, Honda, Nissan, Dodge coming back again. I think the one that makes the most sense is bringing Dodge back.
Yeah.
The team I see making the switch, Petty. Petty will take whoever can throw money his way. I mean, we've seen him drive Plymouths and Dodges and Pontiacs, and I think everything except for Toyota. He hasn't drove a Toyota
at this point.
Yet.
Yeah.
So I think Petty is the one chasing the money bags the most. But that being said, I don't see if a new manufacturer came in, they would probably try to choose a little higher
power
brand.
Someone that's got, I mean.
Now, Petty's a big brand. I mean, as in, like, a powerhouse.
But yeah,
a contender.
Powerhouse. Exactly.
Like how Ford lured Stuart Haas away.
Mm-hmm.
I say it's all the way around, I say it's probably going to be Dodge.
I could see Penske going back, honestly.
Yeah, very true. I mean, they have some history there. Now, they had history with Ford with Rusty Wallace, too. But,
well, yeah, but, I mean, they had success with Dodge.
Era with Dodge.
They got three
right.
cars. They're a powerhouse. I don't see Haas moving.
Bring back the Jeremy Mayfield days. Yeah. No, how about we don't? How about we stay off meth and not cause a scene where
we're talking about a lot about drugs, so don't do drugs, kids.
Yeah, please, no.
So what's next? Vegas after that. So Harvick got his second consecutive win at Vegas. Takeaways from Vegas?
Really only thing I have is the showgirls are awesome out there. I love Vegas. I was just there.
You were
recently.
Just at Vegas. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, just,
you didn't even go to the race. You were there.
I was like a week before the race. I know. Maybe 2 weeks before the race. I know. I thought about staying out there the whole time, but my job kind of frowned upon that. But definitely, it wasn't quite as boring as Atlanta, but I really didn't have a huge takeaway from it other than, hey, Harvick, Harvick's winning again. Just really showed the Stewart Haas dominance again, really.
Mm-hmm.
And Ford just overall, all Ford are kind of, I mean, I think the top 10, I think six were Ford, so. Yeah, well, I mean, did you have any takeaways or any?
Not really. Nothing sticks out. That's a bad thing about recapping this several weeks later is it's kind of hard to remember anything that, you know, really jumps out at me. But
we could read stats all day long, but we don't want to bore you guys, to be honest with you. So we're just kind of go off memory because what stands out to us like I said, we're normal fans. We're not statisticians.
And tell us what sticks out to you. If you think of something, well, something that stuck out to you, something that concerned you, you thought was BS, email us. We'll talk about that in the next.
Hell, Twitter us. We love the chatter. We love the
tweet
comments.
Us, not Twitter us.
Yeah, you know. I'm old school, man.
Diddling us or something. Tweet us. Don't twiddle us.
The gas man is not technologically advanced. Okay, people?
You're supposed to be the engineer.
Yeah, I know, right? So, and kind of touch on social media since we're talking about that right now. Twitter, Facebook, like us. Follow our podcast on Podbean, Stitcher, iTunes, you name it. It's probably there. Hopefully be on Spotify soon.
Yes, hopefully be on Spotify eventually.
Yeah.
Check out our bio. We got a bio up on our website. You can
look at my sexy picture.
Peep that and get a little bit more history about us.
WreckingRacing.com. That's our website.
Yep, WreckingRacing.com. WreckingRacing@gmail.com to send us an email. So
we love you guys. We really
skipping
do.
To, do we cover Phoenix? Are we going to California now?
No, we haven't really talked about Phoenix. We're just talking about Vegas.
Okay, so, takeaways from Phoenix, anything that stuck out of your mind there?
Oh, going back to Vegas, one thing I forgot to mention, talk about Harvick leading, he led 214 of 267 laps.
Right.
Dominance. Right. So, same story, you know, we just move, you know, a couple hundred miles down the road, same story, Harvick dominates.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, let's just talk about Harvick, man. He's a beautiful guy, he's a beautiful creature, isn't he? he's standing out there in his own little world, just killing everybody. It's great. It's kind of funny. Yeah, I mean, people can't even, like, hold a flame to him. And the best part is Kyle Busch. Yeah, I mean, he might well. I don't know how many dresses he has because he's been the bridesmaid every week, it seems. So Harvick's been winning. He's being playing second fiddle.
Yeah, but eventually, you know, that's gonna lead to a victory. So
yeah. So talking about Busch, what do you think about Joe Gibbs so far?
I mean, they're competitive, but they've not really wowed me. I mean, Busch has been the big, obviously, performer there. Hamlin's been decent, but, you know, Suarez, you know, I'm still out to lunch on him. Not sure exactly how I feel about or how I think he's going to perform. I think he was, you know, don't get me wrong, he did really well in the Xfinity series and everything, but you know, maybe he could have spent one more year in that series.
Sure.
I don't know. I mean, he was a series champion, so that could be argued either way, right? But, you know,
there's always a learning curve. Look at Joey Logano. How long it takes
Chase
him.
Elliott. I mean, he's still waiting to win. But
so I think Daniel will do good things. I don't see him being a perennial contender for the championship, but I definitely see him a perennial top 10.
Yeah. So, I mean, but again, you know, performance-wise, this year he's not really wowed me. You know, I think he's probably got a couple of top 10s maybe. I'm not sure on the stats on that at the moment. But and then, Jones? Same thing
I expected to hear a little bit more from him than what we have. He's not been bad, but it's been somewhat consistent.
Right. So, you know, time will tell on that. You know, obviously the powerhouses there is obviously Busch and Hamlin. And then if you want to consider Truex a part of that organization, I know they have the Alliance, but technically, you know.
Yeah, they're sisters, basically. Right. Now, when it comes to, like, Stuart Haas talking about them as a group, I mean, it's really hard to say anything bad about them. I mean, Eric is...
He stepped up.
Yeah, I liked Eric when he was back with DEI. I really liked him. I thought when he was with Petty, he was underperforming compared to what he could be, but I think that's part of the equipment he was in.
Yeah, you're only as good as the equipment you're in, right?
Yeah, so... in the crew chiefs that you have, you know, the team set it up, whatever. I mean, and that's one great thing about NASCAR. It truly is a team sport. And that's one thing it has over all the other sports out there is, I mean, you can say you're a team sport, but let's be honest, when you have these showboaters such as, you know, Dez Bryant, OBJ, and stuff like that. I'm throwing out names that you don't know, Lugs. I get it. I'm also a sports guy for football, et cetera. So, Lugs only likes NASCAR.
Hey, there's nothing illegal about that.
No, so. it's a good thing. It's definitely a good thing. Me, I'm kind of a mix of everything between baseball, football, and NASCAR. But NASCAR's always been my passion. I think whenever we met, it was like sixth grade, and you know, we had these shirts. You had a Jeff Gordon shirt. I had a Dale Earnhardt shirt. I swear, we wore the hell out of these things. We wore them like every other day. So during this part of my life, I was a, I had a
mid-90s people.
Yeah, yeah. So I had an Emmitt Smith, Troy Aikman. A little bit later, I had a Mark McGwire. A couple years later, I had a Mark McGwire shirt and my Dale Earnhardt shirt. Like the only shirts I ever wore. And they all had holes after, you know, just a couple weeks because I just wore them out literally. So I had one that said like Jake Black number 3. It was awesome. I loved it. I think it was funny because Lugs and I, we've discovered this NASCAR memorabilia store in our little local hometown. And let's just say that, well, Lugs more than me spent a lot of money in that place over the years.
Yeah, too much.
Yeah. So getting now to, that was Phoenix, kind of California. This is kind of an interesting race because Harvick had showed in practice like that he's going to be a contender mm-hmm. again.
Was he going to get 4 in a row? That was a good question. Yep.
Yeah.
Did you, before we go into the race, did you think he was going to do it? Obviously, we all know he could do it, but did you think he was going
to
do it?
Yeah, I think he could have, and I was hoping, honestly, that he would just to see history. I honestly felt like he was going to come in second and Kyle Busch was going to win. That was what's going to happen. So I was going to be a little disappointed. Definitely like Kevin a lot more than Kyle. But
it didn't happen. And instead, he got into a scuffle or whatever you want to call it with Larson.
Yes.
Which really was not of Larson's doing, in my opinion.
No, I agree. And, you know, was it a racing deal? Was it a I'm going to get you deal? I mean, there's kind of
they were racing hard, no question there.
Yeah.
To me, I do think it was an error on Harvick's part. I do think it was a racing deal, though, however.
Sure.
I don't think he was trying to clean out Larson or anything like that. I do think he was just probably going down to be aggressive and side draft and, you know, the stage was coming to an end. He was trying to get points and he was doing what he was supposed to do, right? Race,
right.
Get those points. And it was a racing deal. Hindsight, would he do it again, be that aggressive? Probably not.
No. Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever got to a point where you're like so mad and frustrated you did something you regretted? I think we all have, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that little old lady I called an MF for that one day, I shouldn't have done that. I'm kidding, folks. I did not do that. So I think it's just kind of a result of racing hard. And it's kind of too early in the race, honestly, to be pulling moves like that, in my opinion. But I kind of get it as well.
And that's what the stage racing's created.
Yeah, and which, you know what? A lot of people complain about stage racing. The real old school people, you know, I'm old school. I kind of like to stay racing.
Yeah, it puts a new spin on it. You know.
Yeah. I mean, and Truex has it figured out, obviously. He's used it to his benefit last year, and
he's already accumulated more points at this point than what he had last year. I saw the stat.
Right.
He's like 4 or 6 more points ahead of where he was a year ago.
Yeah. Oh, talk about points. Let's go back. I'm sorry, fans. Let's go back to Atlanta. Harvick in the window.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The whole window debacle.
So, what's your feelings on that? Because he lost, like, 25 points for that?
Yeah. 25 points.
So, he dropped him to 6. Then
technically,
right back
I think
lead.
The win was encumbered.
There's that word. Yeah, we
yeah
said
I,
don't,
I think they
on.
Said they're not using that word
right,
this year.
Right,
but,
exactly.
But I'm still going to use it because I don't know what the term is.
I guess maybe we should call ourselves the Encumbered Podcast. I don't know. We'll see how this episode goes and we actually have him by following.
Yeah, they might encumber our podcast.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, that's a thing where I think it was honestly a mechanical, I guess you would call it mechanical defect or flaw, failure, a part failure ultimately. I mean, was it a window brace or something like
mm-hmm.
that? So I don't think that maybe it did give him an edge, but I think it was a legitimate parts failure. And in my opinion, I think the car passed pre-race inspection. I think at that point, and I kind of have a personal vendetta about all these situations where these cars are failing post-race inspection and they're all getting all these. I think if the car, besides a lug nut issue not being secured, a lug nut not being secured, that's a different ball game. I feel like, but
the safety, right.
Yeah. But I feel like if the car gets through pre-race inspection, but then fails something in post-race, NASCAR failed somewhere in there. They didn't find that position.
Let's
they didn't
be honest.
Find...
Don't you feel as a fan, NASCAR fails frequently?
Well, yeah, absolutely. At least in the last few years, this stuff was never a topic of conversation that I remember starting watching in the 90s or even the 2000s. I mean, yeah, there was a few things here. What was it? Who was it that got busted for, like, just having an obscene size like displacement engine, or it wasn't even
Who knows?
Carl Long.
Yeah, it was. Right.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do not.
He got banned from NASCAR for it.
I do not remember that, but it's funny. But anytime I think of penalties for cheating, my mind automatically goes to Jimmy Johnson.
Well,
I don't know why.
Canales, yeah.
I don't know why. I mean, Canales is a product of his trade. Let's put it that way. He's very good at what he does.
Let's be honest. I mean, that's kind of what Gordon and Evernham, what a lot of people think they did.
Yeah.
But
I've heard some crazy rumors.
The technology, you know, I mean, what is the new Hawkeye system? Didn't have that stuff back
then. Sure, right,
so
right.
You're bored versus the getting away with it back
definitely
then, right?
But
so
it does suck that NASCAR will literally change penalties or change rules right before a race. It's kind of, as a fan, it's kind of frustrating trying to stay on top of all of this stuff.
And so what was that? Was California, right? Where half, well, not half, well, maybe it was half. A lot of cars
where they didn't go out and qualify.
Didn't even get through pre-qualifying inspection.
Yeah, right.
So they didn't get to make a qualifying run. And then, so ultimately, they all had to start at the back, right?
Yeah.
But they had brand new tires, whereas everybody that had went out and qualified made three rounds.
Sure.
Now they've got six laps of wear on their tires, which they said, you know, that's going to make a huge difference. The people that are starting in the back actually are going to have an advantage. So then they opened it up for the teams that did qualify, did make laps, to go out there and purchase brand new tires. And it's just like, I mean, that seems unfair to me.
To me, that was, maybe it was strategic. And that should be allowed, right?
I mean, there's
the whole point of every week, these cars are so much alike. They are. I mean, I don't care what manufacturer they are. They're basically templated up to the much where they're almost exactly the same. Now, your edge comes from where you outsmart the other person. It's a cat-mouse game. Outsmart the other person. So if that was a game plan, so they can start in the back with fresh tires. You know what? So be it. That's gamesmanship. That's part of it.
Yeah. I mean, I could see that aspect of it too. But I just feel like at that point, just NASCAR needs to do a little bit more reflection. And, you know,
Steve, you think
they would have maybe come across, played that situation out in their head before it actually played out in real life.
Sure.
But, you know, that's...
So, Steve O'Donnell, if you're listening, call us. We'll talk to you. Yeah, we'll give you some input, you know, from the fans' perspective. If Brian France, if you're listening, we all know you're not. And we all know that you're kind of just sitting at home, not really paying attention to the races or anything. We get it. come to races more often, Brian, please. So, I think... I definitely think it adds a little bit of extra flair, I guess, but... Let the teams be a little bit and stop policing them as much as you do. So, anyway, NASCAR, take that to heart. Listen to us. Lugs in the gas, man. We tell you straight up how it is, right? So, overall, California, you know, wasn't too bad. Just really the biggest storyline and just the Harvick wrecking.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, other than Truex spanking the field, I mean.
Yeah, but we were used to that last year. So, this is really nothing new, right?
True, true.
So, and then Kyle Busch, bridesmaid again.
Yeah. So let's shift gears here a little bit. I'm going to throw a question at you.
Okay.
Who do you think's going to have the most race wins this year?
Oh, man. Harvick's already got three. Elliott, maybe he gets one or two. Austin Dillon's already got one. That's a no. I am going to have to say, I'm going to go out there and say...
Easy one is to say Truex, obviously.
Yeah, but I'm not even thinking Truex. I mean, to me, the easy one's Harvick, but I'm going to try to go outside the box a little bit and say either Brad Keselowski or Kyle Busch.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I think they're both competitive. I think they're both on the edge of winning. And we've seen it time and time again where someone starts off really hot, and by mid-season, they fall off and they're a top five car instead of, you know, the first place car.
Yeah, and then someone else is coming
right
in.
It's,
and,
it's cyclical,
and getting on a
so
hot streak. Yeah, it's just a matter of playing the timing right, but... what's up with Jimmy Johnson? Is he going to get an eighth?
Oh, that's the problem, Grandpa.
Is he going to get an eighth? Is he going to resurgent? Is he going...
Well, let's put it this way. I had... Even though I'm a true-blood Dale Sr. fan, I don't want to see anybody break his record, but I also think it might be good for his sport to see... Get a little bit more enthusiasm back into the sport if he did win eight. However, just like Gordon started to fade in his career...
He had a resurgence towards the end, though.
To an extent, but I don't see... I don't see
Jimmy necessarily. But no, he didn't go out and dominate like he did in the 90s. And I don't see Johnson doing that again either.
Yeah, I don't see him dominate. I see him being contending here and there, but I do not see him in championship form at all. Actually, I don't see Hendrick at all in championship form. In the last 2 years, they've just kind of faltered big time. I feel like GM needs to come in and throw a little bit more money into the game and, you know, get some backing and help them out a little bit, because regardless of your feelings, Hendrick's success kind of helps with NASCAR's success as a sport.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the young team now. Other than Johnson, you have Byron, Elliott, and Bowman. Well, Bowman's stepping into the second coming of Jesus' car.
That's so, a good way to put it.
So, in which I'm a big Dale Jr. fan. I love Dale Jr. And not so much, I mean, I love him as a racer, but the guy is... the guy is such an ambassador for NASCAR. If you hate Dale Jr. as a driver, think he's overrated, whatever the spiel we always hear, look at what he does for the sport.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there's no arguing that. So, besides Hendrick, though, I mean, you've got, what is it, JTG Dowertree with
Allmendinger.
Yeah,
he's
not
done horrible this year.
And then you got RCR, right? Those are the three Chevy teams, besides Petty, technically.
Yeah, Petty.
That's
an
alliance with RCR,
yeah.
So... am I forgetting anybody there?
Oh, man.
Those
Chevy,
are your Chevy teams, right?
LeVane Family Racing, whatever, with Kane. But that's kind
true.
Of...
okay.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's pretty much it, right? So, I mean, Hendrick's the powerhouse, and they're struggling. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me ask you this. So, while we're still on the Hendrick topic, let's just break it down real quick. Byron, get a first win this year, being a rookie?
No, he's... he's not struggling. He's having rookie blues right now, which is okay. He's not doing bad, but he's not doing great. This could be a learning year for him. I do not see him getting a victory.
Okay. Kind of talked about Johnson. Think he'll find victory lane, though?
Yeah, I think he'll have at least two wins.
Two wins?
Yeah.
Okay. On that note, I'm going to go drill down a little bit deeper on that. So he's got, what, 83 wins right now?
I have no idea.
He's got 83 wins
okay.
right now.
Okay.
Will he surpass Gordon? Gordon's got 93 wins.
No, because I don't see Johnson racing another 5 years. I think he averages two wins a season going forward, so I don't see it.
So, and on that point, I could drill down a little bit more.
Okay.
Lowe's is leaving.
Shocker. Lowe's is leaving.
Honestly, Lowe's would be with them until he retired.
I think because I figured they would see it coming soon.
You know they're paying a pretty penny for that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And, you know, what, you still got Menards. Home Depot left a few years ago. Would it be set if Home Depot picked him up?
Oh, that'd be crazy. I don't see that happening.
Nah, me neither. But
so, okay, now we dive in because now we're like, I know we're spinning everybody around here talking about this.
Hang on, folks. We're spinning out.
Spin off turn four. So, who do you maybe see stepping in to sponsor Johnson?
It could be
anybody, but...
I'd say it's somebody that's already in the Hendrick affiliation.
Pepsi?
So could be, well, I don't know, maybe Gatorade? No, Gatorade's...
Gatorade's Pepsi.
Yeah, it is.
Gatorade's
so,
Pepsi.
They've always had a strong alliance with Jimmy. Maybe it's Gatorade. I don't see Pepsi doing it.
Any specialty drinks coming out that you can think of for them to compete with Coke,
not
maybe?
Not off the top of my head, but I'm thinking more like, you know, maybe Exalta. They're already double dipping on Bowman and Byron, so maybe they'll go to him. And then they got... who else? What's the, there's some alliance, some sort of a clothing uniform, UniFirst, sponsor that they've got, that they've got a contract through like 2022.
Yeah. It's like a CentOS competitor.
Yeah.
Right?
So who's to say they don't step up? I think it's someone that's already affiliated with Hendrick. They're just going to step into a bigger role.
Valvoline, maybe. They kind of had a little bit more of a presence with Hendrick recently.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But outside of the box, I mean, I have no idea, but I personally see it somebody coming from within the organization that's already in there.
Yeah, that makes sense. That definitely makes sense. Okay.
So two wins, you're saying two wins from Jimmy?
Yeah.
Zero for Byron. How about Bowman?
I think Bowman will have one. I do, because he's really, in my opinion, he's been the most consistent Hendrick driver.
Yeah.
And when he filled in for Dale Jr., he didn't do bad.
He's slightly been more competitive than Chase, I would say, this year.
Right. Exactly.
What's your thoughts on Chase? Are you going to finally get
Chase
him?
I think Chase is one of those people mid-season to late season, you'll see a surge on, I'll be honest with you. So I see Chase winning 2 to 3 races.
So you see that as resurgence of Chase or a resurgence of Hendrick or a resurgence of the Camaro overall?
I think Camaro will start finding its way halfway through the season. So the second half, I see Chase himself, maybe Hendrick stepping up. I see Chase being the Chevy, the Hendrick driver that's actually contending. Everybody else, top five, top ten, but he'd be the one contending for the win.
Any other thoughts on that? So
what do you think about Ford? Do you think they're going to stick around?
Ford?
Yeah,
as far as they're in their winning ways.
Yeah, like you got Stuart Haas winning every race, it seems like. And then you have Penske, who's right behind him.
Absolutely. I mean, Blaney has been consistent, really consistent. Well, yeah. So has Keselowski and Logano, really. You can't argue against any of them, actually, honestly. But absolutely, absolutely. Them and Haas, I absolutely think that. I mean, this is the most competitive the series has ever been, arguably, right?
Right.
I mean, it's just, there's no telling. I mean, on a weekly basis, anybody could get that gel started and that, you know, that run that everyone always talks about, that consistency, turning up the heat, whatever you want to call it. But it's just so hard to predict anymore. You know, used to, you know, back when we used to argue back and forth. I mean, that was
right.
Gordon went on a hot streak. He'd win four races in a row, had 13 wins in 1998.
Right.
And I'd come into school. You were basically crying in the corner.
Yeah.
We don't see those days anymore.
Yeah, I know. I know. And you know what the great thing is that we don't see anymore either? And I mean, obviously we're not in school anymore, so we won't. But how many times did we get our teachers involved in conversations?
Yeah.
We did. Well, who in the hell is a Wally Dallenbach fan? Mr. Granin, our old high school history teacher. That's who. How many times we talked to Mr. Granin about Wally Dallenbach? You know, Wally's a hell of an announcer, and he was an okay driver. But how many Wally fans did you actually come across? Not a whole lot. So if you're out there, email us. You know, we would definitely like to talk to you. But, you know, back in his Cartoon Network car days, and yeah. And just kind of tell you guys how much of a geeks and nerds that Lugs and I am. We, 1 year, we had my mom or his mom drive us around to different stores, Walmarts, Kmarts, collecting the 164th car. 1 year, we had every car, even the paychecks with Brett Bodine car. Yeah. We had that. I mean, we had every car from the season in the 164s. But even if we had to go buy, was it Action, the big brand? We had to spend a little bit more money instead of the Winner's Circle. And we're dating ourselves a little bit, but buy the Action cars. And we made little tracks from popsicle sticks and Legos and raced them. We're nerds. We ate this stuff up as kids. We still do. We still talk about, but not, I mean, hold on, let me backtrack. We still do eat it up and talk about it. We don't
play with that.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, exactly. All right, so we don't.
Let's get back on track here. For Turow, Jones left the, 77 car right. last year. So, you think that's going to have any effect on Truex this year?
No.
Then downsizing?
Truex has shown no signs of being affected by that. I say he will definitely have probably 4 to 5 wins this year, and he'll finish in top three in the championship.
Okay. So you know I'm going to go here, even though we're only 5 races in. Who's the 2018 champion? Who's your pick?
Harvick.
Harvick.
I think Harvick will be the man.
It's a fair assessment at this point.
And I think he'd be a champion that people can get behind. You know, I think a lot of people respect Harvick.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Harvick. You know, he brings a little excitement here and there when he needs to.
It tells you how it is.
Yeah. And I think the sport really needs to get back to the grassroots of the sport. Using a term Harvick was talking about a couple weeks ago, he's talking about getting the drivers back to grassroots where they're racing more on the dirt tracks and getting with their local communities and getting more to the fans. And that's kind of, I think it'd be a popular victory or championship if he won again this year.
I agree. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, is there, like, let's talk about rookies real quick. Just compare rookie to rookie. So, our two rookies this year, both Chevys. We got Brian and we got
Byron.
Byron. My bad. Sorry. And Terrell Wallace Jr., Bubba.
Bubba. Yeah, I honestly think, I mean, I think Byron's in superior equipment, obviously. But I think Wallace is going to have flashes of brilliance, honestly. I mean, you can argue his second place in the 500. Well, that's just restricted plate racing and anything's possible. But I do think the kid's got talent. I think that, you know, he's going to have some flashes. Unfortunately, he is kind of in, you know, not so the greatest equipment.
Sure,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, so the
I definitely think he's, I think he's taking that car to better limits than it has been.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think of the best way to say it, but I think he's doing good for what he has to
work
with.
The odds are, you know, slightly stacked against him, but
right.
I hope that, you know, and I don't know what his contract is, if it's a one or two or whatever it is, but, you know, I hope that it's a stepping way or stepping stone to better, you know, equipment in the future. You know, maybe he's going to replace Johnson down the road. Who knows? I don't know. But I like Bubba. He's very outgoing, charismatic. I think he's something that the sport needs. So, you know, do I see him winning this year? Unfortunately, no. Not unless he pulls off some, you know,
fuel mileage race,
Dylan did at the Coke 600 last year.
Sure.
But I'm going to give just the slight edge to Byron just because he's in a slightly better equipment.
Yeah, that makes sense. Definitely, you know, Bubba, if you're listening, wreckingyourrace@gmail.com, Twitter us, you know, DM us on Twitter.
Yeah, we'll get you conferenced in here, buddy.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. And we really are supporters of you, and I think you're going to do good things for the sport. I really do. I'm glad to see that. So, what kind of... Any other things you want to recap from these first five races of the season? Anything that stands out to you?
No. Ready to get to Martinsville, see what's going on, see what's going to be the shakeout down there.
And we hope to have, this is kind of late after the fifth race, so we hope to have another episode very soon recapping Martinsville. Could be interesting. Short tracks, we love our short tracks. Man, NASCAR needs more short tracks.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I think this podcast, you know, we're recapping a lot of information. I don't think all of our podcasts will be quite this long. Maybe they will. I don't know. Again, we're just, this is the first time for us doing this, so we're just kind of shaking the stick at it to see how it shakes out. But
tell us how much you love
us.
Tell us how much you hate us.
Yeah, let us know what's an idea length for you. I don't know. Let us know when you're listening to this. Are you listening to this on your commute? Or are you sitting at home? Or are you in an airport somewhere? You know, just curious where
we want to hear from you.
We
don't know what to do if, you know, people aren't, you know, corresponding with this and letting us know. So constructive criticism in the professional world is what we call it. And we would definitely will take that. So let's jump to the last couple of things I want to go over. One is, I don't know if you've heard this or not, so I won't call this section checkers or wreckers, but essentially it's crazy news that kind of involves NASCAR some way or somehow. And no, I'm not going to talk about that pervert truck driver that got arrested or whatever for child molesting or whatever. We're going to talk about that deadbeat. We're going to talk about Scott Speed. Talk about deadbeats in NASCAR. You shouldn't last long, but did you hear what happened to Scott Speed?
I did hear a little bit of a rumor, something about iRacing.
Yeah, he got kicked out of iRacing. And for the ones who don't know what iRacing is, it's a online simulated racing series, essentially. But I was watching a video online. This guy was recording his race, and you just see Scott Speed's car that he's maneuvering just, like, swinging at this guy, trying to take him out of the race. It's kind of funny, but it's also kind of sad you have such a professional racer acting like such a child.
Well, I mean, it's a game, right?
Maybe he had too much Red Bull.
To a point. But so for those of you that don't know, he races in the Global Rallycross events now. So they're kind of like rally cars. They, you know, race on these preconditioned tracks, whatever you want to call it. Some of them are pavement, and they have, like, I don't know the terminology, but they have, like, these shortcuts that you can take and all kinds of things. That you can take, like, one of these shortcuts for every five laps or something like that. So it's totally different style of racing, right? So that's what he's been doing in, not to discredit the guy or anything, but he's doing this in iRacing, an online racing game, and apparently he clinged out a guy during his racing video.
A little bit of anger issues, right?
Yeah, I don't know what the pretext was or what led up to it. We'll have to do some research, maybe follow up on the next podcast. But what we should do, we'll find the video. If we can find a video, we'll post it on Twitter.
Or wreckingyourrace.com.
On our website, so go check that out.
Right. So, Lugs, before we go any further or finish up the episode, anything else you want to address, any questions you have?
No, I think just again, it's first time doing this, guys. I appreciate anybody that's listening to us. Just trying to get some feedback, see what you like, what you don't. We're going to try to give you, again, a non-biased perspective of the sport. We're, you know, true fans at heart. Yeah, we've got our own drivers that we pull for, but overall, we are fans of the industry and the sport. We want to see it succeed. I don't care if it's if you're a Ford man, if you're a Toyota. You know, I respect all the drivers. You know, I love the sport. So, you know, really, we just want to have this podcast out there. Anybody could come and listen to it. We hope we don't upset you at any of the comments that we make. But if we do, we want to hear about it. And maybe we can
more likely some. That'll be the gas man.
Yeah, he's a little risque than I am, but you know, we would just want to get some feedback from you guys, see what you like, what you don't. How about you?
Yeah, I agree. You know, a couple of things. You know, we're obviously a small-time operation. We are raw and unfiltered, I like to say. We're not held back by the constraints that the NASCAR on Fox and NASCAR NBC podcast, blah, 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 that they're constrained by.
PC.
Yeah, we're not that way. We're raw, filtered, call it like it is, how it is, how it should be. So definitely, hopefully that stands out to you guys and you like us for that reason. However, if you don't, you can always email us at recognedracing@gmail.com and tell us how much we suck once again. And hopefully you do like us. But if you want to help us out, this is not cheap. Let's talk about that real quick. Not cheap. I'm not begging here. I apologize if it comes off this way. But essentially, it takes a lot of effort to put this podcast on. It's not cheap to get started. They're going. And what we would really like to do, and our kind of our end goal here, is to go to maybe a couple races a year, meet our fans, or NASCAR fans in general, maybe not our fans, but they want to hang out, and just kind of do a podcast from the race. And, you know, maybe, hell, who maybe we'll get lucky and meet a driver. Probably not, but you never know. But we can at least meet our fans who are the backbone of the industry.
Yeah, talk to you guys. See, we want to know, you know, why is the state of the sport in the state that it's in, and how can it be fixed? Obviously, we can't fix it, right? But
right.
How do we fix it? Because, again, bottom line is we're passionate fans, and we want the sport to be around another 50 years or beyond that, obviously, right? But
flying NASCAR cars.
Exactly. Yeah. Electric hybrids or something. But,
right.
You know, obviously, the sport is not... It's not at its pinnacle, right? It was at its pinnacle in the mid-2000s. We're not there.
I say early 2000s,
yeah,
late 90s.
And I'm not saying we will ever get back to that, but how do we improve it? How do
sure.
we improve it? So
sure. It's definitely an open discussion for every episode on what we can do. And who knows? Maybe we'll get so popular NASCAR will actually listen to us and take our fans' suggestions to heart.
Again, doubtful, but...
You never know.
We can wish.
Never know. Wishful thinking, yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to lose sleep over it because I'll never sleep if that's the case because it's probably not going to happen. So a couple ways to support us, and that's what I was getting to, is that, you know, obviously, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Tweeter, whatever you want to call it.
Twitter us.
Yeah, talk to us. Please, please, please talk to us. Email us. If you go to patreon.com/wreckingandracing, you can actually subscribe to our channel. Our goal is to eventually get some premium content for you. As of right now, $1 donate early in the as low as $1 donation will get you a shout out on the show. You can go all the way up to a $15 donation, and we probably actually would have you on the show, maybe $20 donation, and talk to you, interview you on the show. But I'm not, if you reach out to us, I'm not against, even if you're not a Patreon member, to have me on the show. Just reach out to us. We'll try to come up with something. Now, if we have 100 people message us, obviously that's going to be a little bit more difficult to do. So definitely reach out to us, talk to us. We definitely can use the support. Like I said, this is very expensive. We love to have a meet and greet with fans sometime at a race. Our goal is to at least hit the Coke Zero Sugar 400 at Daytona this year on July the 7th. I think we'll probably be flying in on the 9th of the 5th. So the 6th, we can maybe, you know, do something like Xfinity race on the 6th, and then on the 7th maybe meet some fans, whatever. We'll come up with something, but that's what we're kind of aiming at right now.
Yeah, I got plenty of time to... plan that out.
Sure.
We'll definitely communicate it.
Yeah, definitely. Like, so we'd love to meet all of you guys. And who knows, maybe by that time we can actually have money for swag. We can pass out some cool stuff.
Koozies,
you know?
Or something.
Yeah. And we're all going to be drinking Busch Light, right? Like, I got Busch Light right here in my hand. Definitely need koozies for that stuff. So I really appreciate you listening. I'm sure Lugs appreciates it.
I do.
You guys make this world turn for us, so we appreciate it. Have a great time and message us. Thanks.
And the checkered flag waves on this episode. Tune in next week to keep updated on all things NASCAR. Please like us on iTunes and follow us on Podbean. We'd like to hear from you, so reach out to us too at wreckingandracing@gmail.com. Thanks again, and see you soon.